Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. It's getting to be cold and cough and congestion season. I hope you're feeling okay. We know the common cold is benign. It's self-limited. It's caused by several virus families. It is the most common acute illness in the United States and is the most commonly found around this time of year, late fall and early winter. The common cold is a separate and distinct entity. It is distinguishable from influenza and bacterial pharyngitis and acute bronchitis and acute bacterial sinusitis and allergic rhinitis and pertussis and a bunch of other things. The common cold is almost always uncomplicated and self-limited, so we strongly advise providers not to use antibiotics, basically for two reasons. First, they don't work, which is a very good reason. And secondly, they lead to antibiotic resistance in bacteria. But we've not managed prescribing as a profession very well. In part, this is because of what our colleagues in emergency medicine call the Yosemite Bear phenomena. This is when visitors to a park like Yosemite feed the bears and they forget to how to feed themselves and how to survive on their own, and they become dependent on visitors for food. Similarly, when we give antibiotics for conditions that they are not needed and people get better, which they always do, they assume the cause of their recovery was an antibiotic. So the next time they get sick with a similar illness, they come back for more every single time they get a cold. They don't realize that the body cured the disease on its own. So what do people think of not getting a prescription for antibiotics? You found a poem that addresses this issue. It was published in PLOS, the Public Library of Science Medicine, published in 2022. It's an electronic journal, so I'm not going to give you the page number. It attempts to answer the question, what do patients think about the idea of a wait-and-see prescription? Mark, we've talked about this over the years, but this is sort of an interesting study that addresses this issue.
Yeah, the lead author is Morell, and it's called Public Preferences for Delayed or Immediate Antibiotic Prescriptions in UK Primary Care, a Choice Experiment. And like you said, it was in PLOS Medicine. It's I think it's interesting because it doesn't just ask doctors what they want to do. It asks patients what they think is acceptable to them. And I think that's really important. So this was an online study. They recruited about 800 adults, as well as 800 parents of children younger than 18 in the UK. And they had a good response rate, 78 and 73%. The sample represented the UK population. It looked like the UK in terms of age and sex and ethnicity. About 40% reported having graduate or postgraduate education, which is somewhat higher than the general population. So a little bit skewed toward a higher education group. The participants were given 12 hypothetical situations about a respiratory tract infection. Then they were asked whether they would prefer an immediate prescription of an antibiotic or a delayed backup prescription, which would be started if the symptoms worsen or fail to improve. And they found that the duration of symptoms and the type of symptoms were associated with the responses. About half chose a delayed prescription for a minor sore throat or a common cold. The presence of fever or swollen glands made participants more likely to want immediate treatment. Older patients, on the other hand, were more likely to favor a delayed prescription. The survey was completed by participants who probably didn't have a respiratory infection at the time, so their answers might have been different if they'd actually been ill. But it's interesting, given this hypothetical situation, about half of participants were likely to entertain the idea of waiting to see if the symptoms improve before starting antibiotic treatment. Fever and swollen glands seem to be important triggers for wanting an antibiotic. So that might be part of our education for patients is, you have swollen glands, viruses can do that. You have a fever, viruses can do that, because I think they probably are weighted a little bit more strongly. On the other hand, if you're thinking about sore throat, fever and swollen glands are associated with strep. So, there is something to that.
I was a little surprised to learn that it was older patients that were more inclined to favor a delayed prescription. One would think that they'd been brought up in the era of, you know, a pill and let's take a pill, and that would be younger people that would be more in favor. But that is interesting. And, you know, the numbers suggest that it's at least worth asking patients if they want to wait.
Yeah, and that's a routine strategy that I use. Not everybody likes it. Some people feel it's sort of giving up or giving in, but we know it's effective. Multiple studies have shown that less than half of people ever fill that prescription if they're given a delayed prescription. So it's by far as I can tell, the most effective way to reduce inappropriate antibiotic consumption is by using this as a strategy. And then hopefully patients then learn, you know, we've medicalized, like you said, we've medicalized these respiratory infections and make people think they need to see a doctor for all of them. And this is a way to demedicalize it by giving them the confidence that, hey, I didn't take an antibiotic and I got better. So maybe that will help to, you know, change that trend.
Yeah. So here's my hypothesis on this study. My hypothesis is that, at least in my clinic, patients come to see me when they're sick. And it's a big deal. They've got to come. They've got to park. They've got to come up and see me. And the pharmacy is right underneath the clinic on the first floor. So the patients that I have, when I go through the process that you're talking about, would you like to wait? And they decide, you know, I'm going to fill it because I'm right here. I don't want to have to come out again. Mm-hmm. My hypothesis is that with telemedicine, people would be more likely to delay and not fill the prescription because they're at home and they don't have to go out than they do if it's in-person medicine and they're already out. Anyways, testable, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that could be a point. It depends on what the barrier is and burden is, and also co-pays and things like that. You know, are they able to pay much money? They might be quite willing. And I think it has a lot to do with the relationship we build over time and the level of trust that they have in you. And I think what patients do want is to be listened to carefully and examined and feel that, you know, you gave them due diligence in terms of making your judgment about whether an antibiotic is needed.
No, excellent points. It was the RAND health insurance experiments 30 years or so ago that put this concept of co-payments on the map, right? And they showed that it actually decreases utilization. So this, I mean, they were not looking at colds and antibiotics, but it was extrapolated. I think they were looking at hypertensives and diabetics. But a little bit of skin in the game does reduce utilization. And so when you say that it depends on co-payments, that is part of the insurance company philosophy, is to have them have some skin in the game. Talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.